coming up.
This is very niche ASMR, this is.
Thank God, that's the worst noise ever.
It's always a shocker when I see a picture of you with glasses on.
I wouldn't have got that in a million years from that.
Torture.
Within the courtroom setting.
Well, it could be a magistrate.
How do you say that?
I think I went a little bit Crown Court from the 70s then.
Assert your dominance through completing quests.
An old hag like you, Sam, is that what you're saying?
Shut up, you.
That had real rom-com energy.
If you want old hag love, I'll do it.
Aurak from Blake 7, in case anybody remembers.
That is cool.
I can absolutely take that and forget it.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. Here's my co-host, Samantha Boffin.
Hello. And this is my co-host, Mark Rice.
Well, if you're new to the podcast, this is what it's all about. Every week, we set out to prove there isn't just one way to read a script. There are lots of different ways.
But how to say that? Well, let's crack on and find out. So, Mark, what is your true or false this week?
Okay, Sam. I once stopped two fairly inebriated women from having a punch-up in the queue to get on a plane at Gatwick. True or false?
Do you know, I can't see this happening. I just cannot imagine you breaking up a fight. So I'm going to say false.
You're right. You're right. I made it up. I thought that might have slid past you, that one, but okay.
I think okay. You'd just go off somewhere and have a coffee, to be perfectly honest, and think, yeah, bollocks to this.
More than likely.
Okay, so Mark, I once, in a history exam, stated with absolute certainty that Cat Stevens invented the seed drill. And then I remembered too late after the exam that in fact it was Jethro Tull. Now, both of those people, for the younger listener, they're both singers.
Did either of them invent this? Oh, my goodness.
Yes, one of them did.
Did they? No, I'm going to call false on that. Did you do it?
I did. I was so ashamed of myself. I remember thinking, I'll remember that fact because they're a band.
Yeah.
And then got the wrong band.
You will have given your examiner a good laugh.
Oh, they did. It was an internal exam, and they pissed themselves laughing.
When they gave out the
exams afterwards and sort of gave, they said, very interesting person who invented the seed drill, Sam. So anyway, yes.
Well, let's welcome our special guest to this week's show, shall we? Actor and voice actor, Corin Wilkinson. Hello, Corin.
Hello.
It's lovely to have you along.
It's lovely to be here.
Let's find out a little bit more about you, shall we?
Yes. So Corin is a professionally trained actor based in Cambridge. She performed in theatre and TV before having a break to bring up her family. And then after a decade or so of writing and directing and performing children's theatre, she trained in voice acting.
Yes. And now with jobs ranging from radio commercials to video games, her speciality is that she's discovered she's a real vocal chameleon with lots of character voices and accents in her toolbox. So we may get to hear some of that today, I hope. So, Corin, what's your fun fact, please?
My fun fact is that as well as looking after small children and doing voice acting, I'm also a clown.
Like, do you dress up and you've got all the face makeup and everything, the wig and everything too?
Well, that can be a bit scary, can't it? I know a lot of people have a clown, phobia.
Phobias,
so
yes,
it's not quite that extreme, but it's a very silly outfit. I have stripy tights and lots of colours and pigtails, and I wear my cap back to front. So I generally do look a bit strange when I walk down the street.
So is it clowning, is it juggling and stuff like that that you do? Balloon animals, that sort of thing? I mean,
I do magic, I do falling over, I do balloon animals. I've got my balloon
over.
Pump and a balloon in here if you want to hear.
Oh,
and
go for it.
This is very niche ASMR, this is. Yeah, blowing up a
balloon.
It's
also a sound that I cannot bear, so I shall take it on advice.
I'm so sorry.
I think
okay,
I've mentioned that in the fun fact section before.
Oh, no. Okay, right. Fingers in ears. Okay, yeah. I'm just pumping it up like this. And there we go.
Hope nobody comes in right here.
Sorry. And then, I'm a pro at making a balloon dog. So I just do a little bit. There you go. Can you hear that? Oh, sorry.
Yes, I can.
Can hear that.
What colour is your balloon dog today?
It's orange.
Lovely.
There we go. And just do that. And then that. There we go. And that's done. There we go.
It's beautiful.
God, that's the worst noise ever.
I'm so sorry.
Is it a little sausage dog?
It is a sausage dog.
It's
yeah,
a
he's
sausage
got a lovely
dog.
Long body and a tail.
And with that horrible squeaking noise, let's look at the first script of our show and ask, how do you say that?
How do you say that?
Yes, so let us start with this little winner.
Yes. Mm. What is it?
It comes across a little bit like some kind of program, like an advertisement for a TV program, something kind of a bit traitorish or like, you know, something that's, I don't know, mysterious. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. It is a promo for a TV program.
So it's a TV promo. Ah, interesting.
Yeah, but it isn't a sort of traitor's reality show.
Okay.
It's actually a murder mystery.
Ah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I wouldn't have got that in a million years from that.
Yeah, it's I was so excited to get this one insofar as I do quite a lot of TV promos, but this one was an unusual one, even for a drama, because A, it was script-led, and often the dramas are not, and also you were sort of a character within it.
Well, it could be a magistrate or a judge, someone like that.
Yes, it's actually a barrister. So yes,
so we're on the right lines. Yes, okay.
Within the courtroom setting.
Oh yeah, I didn't get that.
Yes.
Although the promo itself spans all sorts of different things and doesn't keep itself in the courtroom at all. This is like a sort of a barrister voiceover.
Okay. That informs the way that I might do it then.
It does. Doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, definitely. Mm. Yeah.
All right, I'll give it a go. Yeah. I'll give it a go.
Okay. Can you see that now?
Yes,
can
I
you
can.
See it now? I
can.
Said what it is.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
Cool.
All right. This is a mystery about life and love, about truth and finding the one true thing you're willing to defend. It's about friendship and how it ebbs and flows. It's about integrity and class and sex and society. And above all, it's about the age-old question, is it possible for a woman to have it all? This is a mystery about life and love, and your verdict on the case will swing my judgment of you.
Ooh. Interesting.
I think I went a little bit Crown Court from the 70s then.
Very Crown Court. What did you think, Corinne?
It was very kind of bold and kind of like almost, yes. I'm going to tell you what this is. But without kind of, I was expecting it to be slightly more like they were judging slightly what was going to happen.
Yes, so more emotional involvement rather than...
Yeah, but it felt like a, you know, a real kind of overarching kind of introduction to what was going on.
Yes, and it's actually the concluding case.
Right.
Instead of the opening speech, if you like.
Sure.
Interestingly, this is, in fact, a mystery story from the 1930s, 1940s.
Oh, okay, so even further back.
Even 1920s, but it's got that kind of golden age feel to it. That is not how I did it.
No, I think I missed the mark slightly there.
That's a really interesting way of approaching it, because yours was much more, as you say, Corinne, it was much more introductory, almost.
Ooh, Corinne, let's see what you're going to do with it, shall we?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, right. This is a mystery about life and love, about truth and finding the one true thing you're willing to defend. It's about friendship and how it ebbs and flows. It's about integrity and class and sex and society. And above all, it's about the age-old question, is it possible for a woman to have it all? This is a mystery about life and love, and your verdict on the case will swing my judgment of you.
Ooh.
I love that. I saw you kind of walking up and down talking to the jury. If that's that's the kind of image that I got in my brain.
Yes, it definitely had that kind of I'm in charge of this court. And, you know, I am going to make sure that we have the answer that I'm looking for.
Yes.
Very compelling. It was a really compelling read, actually.
Now, you took it quite clipped as well. So you took Sam's point there that it wasn't contemporary, but it was further back in time. Interesting.
When I first read this, and again, I was thinking of it being more of a modern kind of, you know, as I say, kind of mm-hmm. thinking traitorish kind of something.
Yeah, I think when I first
I guess
read
a bit
it, yeah.
murder mystery.
Yeah.
And I was actually thinking, oh, okay, I might go a bit more, lean on my Essex accent a bit more. and go, but then yeah. obviously when I got that note, it was, you know, barrister, 1920s, yeah. 1930s, I then slightly changed what I was going to do.
Yes, yeah. yeah.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
This is where Sam normally goes, oh, this is the one bit of information I haven't told you about.
No, I didn't. It's not that at all. It's just that, as I say, although it was set in the 20s, that's not the theme that we took with this. Okay. We absolutely took it that it was far more intriguing.
Ooh, okay.
As always with these scripts, it can be done so many different ways. And this was just how they saw it.
Yeah. How did you do it? Let's hear.
This is a mystery about life and love, about truth and finding the one true thing you're willing to defend. It's about friendship and how it ebbs and flows. It's about integrity and class and sex and society, and above all, it's about the age-old question, is it possible for a woman to have it all? This is a mystery about life and love, and your verdict on the case will swing my judgment of you.
There was a beautiful pregnant pause after, is it possible for a woman to have it all? And I thought, yes. Oh, yes, that works so well.
That was really good.
I also noticed that you flowed integrity, class, sex, society, age-old question,
yeah, they
all
wanted the build.
Much faster than either Corin
yes.
or I did it.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. I mean, the thing is, of course, you know, I had the advantage of working with the pictures and the music and also there is little bits of upsound actually within it, inevitably.
I felt like it was more of a kind of a personal, like almost like, I mean, maybe it was also the kind of proximity of the mic as well.
Yeah,
it almost felt like you were the barrister talking to me personally.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Rather than it being a big performance. Mm-hmm. So it felt a lot more intimate, I felt.
I think that's the effect they wanted. They wanted the person at home to feel that they were part of the jury.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah.
That you were part of the drama.
Yeah,
I think
really
that's what they
across.
Wanted.
Yes. No, that's a lovely little script from that perspective. And it is worthwhile remembering that we work on real scripts, but we have changed some of the names and some of the details to avoid copyright issues. And you can find both the scripts that we're using today in the show notes of this episode, whichever platform you happen to be listening to us on.
Play How Do You Say That?
So, Corin, what do we have here?
Yes.
What is your script all about?
So, this was actually for a board game.
Oh.
Interestingly enough, yes.
Like an advert for a board game?
Yes, yeah, an online advert for a board game. So,
okay.
There was visuals as well.
Yep.
It wasn't just audio.
Yep.
A bit of music behind there as well.
Does it have different rhythms and paces within it? Are there bits where it becomes much faster? Places where it becomes much slower?
Well, yeah, I can tell you that they wanted the kind of introductory bit and the end to be very, I guess, slower and dramatic.
Okay.
But then there was a kind of a middle bit, which is a little bit more about the game itself, where they wanted the pace to pick up a bit.
Is it a character speaking?
Do you know what? They didn't give me a character.
Okay.
But you created one, did you?
Yes.
So, Sam, are you going to go into deep, deep space first?
I'll do deep, deep space first. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Who can fathom the vast expanse of our undiscovered universe? You have been chosen by your faction to lead an interstellar expedition. Ready your ship, gather your crew, and dare to venture into the unknown by reaching deep, deep space. In this game of discovery, you must chart your own path to victory, assert your dominance through completing quests, uncovering rare items, and engaging in galactic battle. What drives you into the unknown? Is it the path of reputation? The path of exploration? Or is it the path of amassing great wealth?
I liked that. That was kind of what
Not
I was
sure.
going to do.
I'm not so sure.
So I kind of, I think we were maybe thinking along the same kind of lines, perhaps.
Halfway through, I was thinking, what a load of old nonsense.
No, it was, I love the drama of it.
I did as well. And you did speed up for In This Game of Discovery, and then you slowed back down again, as per the note, very much.
Totally. Yeah.
I almost kind of got spaceship captain.
That's what I imagined.
Well, that's what I got. So, yeah.
I tell you what I really didn't like the way I did. I don't think I liked the way I did the title of it, or what I assume is the title of it. I think I was far too OTT on that, or just kind of like wrong for that.
Are you suggesting Deep Space is the title of the game?
I'm imagining that's the title. Okay. And I just thought, God, Sam, come on. You've over-egged that flipping pudding, I thought to myself.
And do you find that as soon as you think that in your brain, suddenly the rest of the read is almost out the window?
No. I can absolutely take that and forget it.
Nice. Yeah. So it flicks through your brain and then you go, oh.
Yeah.
Forget that.
Well, because I think if they didn't like it, I'd rather go push on.
Yes.
And if they don't like it, I can redo
it at the end.
Do that bit.
Yeah.
I don't want to double think what they might think.
No, that's true.
Exactly. Yeah. Keep in the zone. Yeah. Keep in the zone.
So, yeah, second guessing what a director wants is never necessarily a good idea, is it?
No. And you know, the whole thing might be an old twaddle, in which case that's absolutely fine.
That is very true.
The drama of it was very good. I should have said as well that this was it's an American company. So it was, what do we think of as what's going to be the most dramatic? So I'm not saying that that accent was not what they wanted, but throw something in there. I'm keeping,
they,
you know.
Might, yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
I have decided I'm going to go in a completely different direction with it. Completely different. About as far away from Starship Captain as you can get.
Yep. Which I think is probably more interesting, I have to say.
Maybe wrong, maybe right. Who knows? Who knows? Who can fathom the vast expanse of our undiscovered universe? You have been chosen by your faction to lead an interstellar expedition. Ready your ship. Gather your crew. And dare to venture into the unknown by reaching deep, deep space. In this game of discovery, you must chart your own path to victory. Assert your dominance through completing quests, uncovering rare items, and engaging in galactic battle. What drives you into the unknown? Is it the path of reputation, the path of exploration, or is it the path of amassing great wealth?
Ooh, you went robot.
I did get
yes.
Robot.
Or alien. Know, nice. Was it robot or
no, it was kind of it was I was thinking more robot than alien, to be fair.
Yeah.
I was thinking Aurak from Blake 7, in case anybody remembers.
Although that's interesting, Corin, because now I see him as an alien.
Alien would be
Yeah, I just kind of imagined a little green man with, you know, quite sweet.
I mean, could
actually.
Have been. Yeah.
Sweet. Kind of giving us an introduction into this world.
And actually, you could have been an alien who was against a sort of, you know, a mean and nasty alien.
Not wanting you to get the game right.
Not wanting you to get the game right. Fascinating.
Interesting. Well, very different anyway. I'm not sure necessarily.
Yes.
But you would get a note back from that going, that's either exactly what we want or that's not at all what
exactly. we want. But you could too. As I say, there was literally not much there other than the fact that they said, you know, they wanted it to be dramatic.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could go that way totally, couldn't you?
What a great thing it would have been to have auditioned with your first instinct, which was, you know, Commander Captain. And then give them Crazy Robot.
I admit I have done that before in auditions.
I'm sure. But I mean, it's a fantastic, and maybe even somewhere in between if you want to go wild.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. And you didn't, because I suppose you were quite speedy, you didn't speed up particularly in the middle.
No, I wondered about changing it completely for that middle line, and then I copped out of changing it.
Yes, you began to slow, didn't you?
Yeah.
And then you thought, nah.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened. Yes, totally. Corin, show us what you did. I'm looking forward to this.
So excited to hear what you did.
Right. Well, I mean, so I should say that when I auditioned, again, knowing that it was an American company, I did an American version. And then I also did a British English accent as well. And they went for the English accent.
Did they?
Yeah. So, yeah. I think you might find some similarities with them. Samantha's actually.
Okay.
Who can fathom the vast expanse of our undiscovered universe? You have been chosen by your faction to lead an interstellar expedition. Ready your ship, gather your crew, and dare to venture into the unknown by reaching deep, deep space. In this game of discovery, you must chart your own path to victory. Assert your dominance through completing quests, uncovering rare items, and engaging in galactic battle. What drives you into the unknown? Is it the path of reputation? The path of exploration? Or is it the path of amassing great wealth?
Yeah, ooh. I like that. There's a mystery to that as yes. well that kind of makes you want to find out more.
Yeah, it really is. And what I loved, you really lent into the what drives you into the unknown.
Yes.
So there was
yes.
It felt as though you were very much talking to that one person who you wanted to play the game.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I think interesting to remember it's a board game and not a video yes. game as well. So yeah. any graphics that they've created for this commercial are for the commercial.
What I also loved about your voice is you have, unlike me, you have youth on your side. So you felt like you were a youthful but grown up and sorted sort of space commander, which I really liked, actually. It gave it a completely different dimension. That potentially it's far more relatable. You know, you don't always have to have an old an old bird at the front.
An old hag like you, Sam. Is that what you're saying?
An old hag like me. No. But you know what I mean? It felt like it was really, I don't know, it felt really, much more energetic.
Yes,
and,
I know what you mean.
You know, exciting. Yeah.
For the benefit of the tape, I don't think Sam's an old hag.
No.
Well, you know, I'll take it. I'll take it. If you want old hag, I'll do it.
I mean, the wild card's just around the corner, Sam. Be careful what you wish for.
Oh, that is true. That is true.
In fact, I'm going to take us there right now. I'm going to take us to the wild card bit of the show and time to approach these scripts in a very different way.
You dare. You dare.
Oh, it's tempting, isn't it?
So, Corin, can you pick one of the scripts and give one of us something different to do with it?
Old hag, old hag, old hag.
Shut up.
I was thinking go to script 2. So my script right. again. Performing it as though you are a building inspector, a safety building inspector, and you've found a lot of faults with this building and you're basically going to condemn
it. Love it.
Maybe Samantha, maybe you'd like to do that. Mm-hmm. Do you want to?
I can do that. All right then.
Well, who can fathom the vast expanse of our undiscovered universe? Yeah, you have been chosen by
your faction to lead an interstellar expedition. Yeah, ready your ship. Gather your dare to venture into the unknown by reaching deep, deep space. Right, well, in this game of discovery, you must chart your own path to victory. Assert your dominance through completing quests. Oh, uncovering rare items. Uh-oh. Engaging in galactic battle. Oh, dear. What drives you into the unknown? Is it the path of reputation? Is it the path of exploration? Or is it the path of amassing great wealth.
You got just the moment where all of those faults were yes. coming to light. I loved what you did right at the beginning, the little sniff. It's like, right
yes.
then, who can... It's like just that one little sniff of pre-life really worked. Corin, right, what am I going to pick for you? I am going to go for the courtroom, for the mystery about life and love. And I would like you to be a little frog.
Oh.
A tiny little frog who's a bit wet in the way that he speaks. So he's just come out of the pond and he is talking to the tadpoles.
Nice.
Okay. No idea what's going to come out here, but let's roll.
This is a mystery about life and love, about truth and finding the one true thing you're willing to defend. It's about friendship and how it ebbs and flows. It's about integrity and class and sex and society. And above all, it's about the age-old question, is it possible for a woman to have it all? This is a mystery about life and love. And your verdict on the case will swing my judgment of you.
Oh, that was lovely. That was
that
so
was
sweet.
So gorgeous.
Yes.
Thanks. I might have changed what I was doing at points in there. I was kind of finding my way as I read.
Yeah.
I thought it worked remarkably all the way through. I could see you sitting on your little
lily pad.
Lily leaf. Yeah.
What I loved was there was almost a rivet in there.
But it didn't.
Which was lovely, actually. It was like you were swallowing it almost at times. I love that. And there was real empathy.
Yeah.
It's giving a little sermon to the tadpoles. Yes. They need my guidance.
Yeah. They do. And who wouldn't?
I wondered if you were going to change the word woman to frog or amphibian.
Oh, I should have done. Yes. I'm not that quick thinking.
Okay, Mark. So I would like you to do script one.
Okay. Mystery about life and love. Yeah.
Mystery about life and love. You are on a roller coaster. Oh, no, you're on a big wheel.
Okay.
You're not on a roller coaster. You're on a big wheel. And below you is the love of your life.
So I'm on the big wheel and she isn't.
You're on the big wheel and he or she is not.
Isn't that weird that I automatically went, she isn't?
Yeah,
very strange
that was
in
strange.
My life.
I didn't, exactly. Even so, exactly. You're telling her about, or him, I'm doing it now, about this mystery. They are down below and you are going around on the big wheel.
Yeah, okay. Ooh. This is a mystery about life and love, about truth, and finding the one true thing you're willing to defend. It's about friendship and how it ebbs and flows. It's about integrity and class and sex and society. And above all, it's about the age-old question, is it possible for a woman to have it all? This is a mystery about life and love. And your verdict on the case will swing my judgment of you.
Oh, you came down the other side on This Is a Mystery, didn't you?
That had real rom-com energy.
It did, didn't
it? Do you know what I mean? I can imagine this moment.
I could see it going round and I could almost see the person. And I was picturing a girl. It's really funny. Trying
so
to hear
odd.
And like cupping the ear, trying to hear what was being said.
Yeah. And did they shout back at you between times,
as
it were?
I think probably, yeah.
Well, love it. Love the fact that you went up, and then down the other side.
Yeah.
I think I pictured a girl.
It's a nice detail.
Because it says, is it possible for a woman to have it all?
I think that might be the reason. And had I given you, actually, interestingly, had I given you a roller coaster, you would have been much more up and down.
With the ebbs and flows
it,
of it, yes.
You?
Yes.
Well, interesting.
Well, if you want to play along in the privacy of your own booth, whether it's a big wheel or not, as we've said before, we put the scripts in the show notes. You can have a try yourself.
Yes, you can. Now, Corin. So you came to VO from a sort of background in kids theatre and puppetry.
Yes, yeah, lots and lots of kids
theatre. Have you ended up doing what you expected to do?
Not really. I mean, as is the short answer to it all. But I suppose I thought going into, VO that I'd be doing, you know, lots of animation and quirky voices and, you know, really kind of leaning
on
that kind
that
of thing.
Yeah, because that goes into what you'd been doing already, yeah.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I've done a little bit of that, but I would say a lot of what I've done is more, you know, corporate narration and quite dry stuff, really. I have done quite a few safety videos and all that kind of thing. And I didn't expect that that's, you know, the things that I'd been given because, as I say, I think I've lent more on almost disguising my voice, as I say, being a character actor and only kind of being other characters. But I suppose I've learnt that actually through being an actor, there's things that I can do with my voice, and it can be, you know, my own voice or just, you know, a slight variation of my own voice, and to kind of have a bit more trust in my own voice, if you see what I mean.
And also, presumably, your acting background, your ability to flex your voice and do different things with it, has that been a very useful added part of being able to use your normal voice, as it were? Do you add extra depth, do you think?
Yes, yeah. I think it does. And I think that that's often what's useful, you know. As I say, like, if you might have a really dry narration. Like, for example, I had this, I did a whole series of safety videos for a housing company, and it was, you know, very repetitive, quite dry, but they really needed the people watching the video to pay attention. They needed the voice to be engaging.
Yeah.
And so I think that it was being able to make that narration kind of almost come alive and not sound too boring and send people to sleep, that was actually, you know, what got me the gig at the end of the
day. Are you sad that you're not doing more character and more out there and more animation stuff? Is that where you thought you would be at that point?
I mean, I'd love to do more. I think that I'm, as I say, because I'm fairly new in the industry, I think I'm finding my way. Mm. And I'm actually finding, like, again, like, for example, I've done a couple of video games, and I love doing that. But actually, I've realised that with video games, it's more about a naturalism, and it's more about, you know, a nuance of voice rather than kind of these crazy voices. Mm. And actually, I've enjoyed doing that more. And I think that my, again, you know, my acting background comes into that again.
Yeah. I would have thought animation would also be a really good place for you. You know, animation as in that slightly pushed feel.
I really, really wanted to get into kids animation again because, you know, it's my kind of skill set in doing lots and lots of character voices. But yeah, I think it is, you know, as a voice actor, it's kind of going with the flow, isn't it? And finding, you know, I really enjoyed that and exploring what your voice can do.
And then marketing yourself to the kind of people who have got the kind of jobs that you are looking for, I guess.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, absolutely.
And was that an eye-opener? Because actually often actors themselves don't always have websites and, you know, and all the things that voice actors tend to have. Mm. So was it a whole kind of new learning curve of having to set yourself up with a whole tranche of reels and, you know, websites and things like that?
Completely. I mean, you have a lot more autonomy as a voice actor because it does feel like you're marketing yourself. And even, you know, even if you have an agent as a voice actor, it's very different to having an agent as an actor, because it's almost like you're handing everything over when you're just an envision actor.
Yeah.
Whereas, you have a lot more autonomy, and it feels, ultimately at the start, it feels very daunting. But actually, I've really enjoyed that control, and I've enjoyed building that journey myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, it's definitely been an eye-opener,
Lovely. Corin, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. It has been lovely. And that frog read's going to stay with me for a long time, I think. That was lovely, really nice. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Thank you. I have. I've enjoyed it so much. And I'm so sorry about the balloon noises.
Well, yes, I forgive you.
I hope you sleep okay. Sorry, I shouldn't have brought it up again, really, should I?
A reminder that all of Corin Wilkinson's details can be found in the show notes.
They absolutely can. And so can the scripts to practice with. They're lovely scripts, actually, this week.
So that
will be a fun practice.
Yeah, very much. Right, that's it for this week. Thanks again to Corin Wilkinson. We'll be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest when we'll be asking, this is where we do it all together, Corin, ready?
Woo-hoo.
When we'll be asking,
how do you say that?
How do you say that?